Hello, everyone. My name is Jasmine C. Gordon, and welcome back to Math Faculty. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Allison Murphy here. Say hello.
Good morning, and thank you for having me, Jasmine.
No problem. Thank you so much for joining us. So let's start off with an easy question. Who are you? What are you all about?
What am I all about? I love that question. Thank you. I am about empowerment. I am about encouragement. I am about helping others reach their goals. That is what gets me up in the morning and makes me happy enough to go to work every day.
What is your educational background?
Well, I'm a native New Yorker, so I went to New York City public schools. I graduated high school on Long Island, Brentwood High School in Suffolk County. And then I went to the University of Pittsburgh, and I studied exercise science, which was my third major, by the way. So I found my way to exercise science. And then I originally wanted to be a physical therapist, and that didn't work out. And so I got a master's in exercise physiology. And then I thought to turn back to physical therapy, but I fell in love with what I was learning in graduate school. And I just wanted to continue in that path. I was curious and passionate about what I was learning. I had wonderful faculty at the University of Pittsburgh that just encouraged my curiosity. And so I got a PhD in exercise physiology from the University of Pittsburgh.
But that is very impressive. What do you teach here at Mercy?
I teach in the exercise science program. We are completely on the Dobbs Ferry campus because that's where our exercise science lab is located. Specifically in courses, I teach foundational courses on the 100 level for our first or second year students. I've taught our 200 level classes like research methods and sports nutrition. Currently, I teach our 400 level classes in exercise testing and prescription, as well as laboratories associated with that class, our special populations class, and our capstone in exercise science. In addition, I coordinate the internships for exercise science. All of our majors are required to take internships prior to graduation, so I coordinate internships as well as the professional certification exams for our students, which are also required before graduation.
Nice. So which one would you say is your specialty? Which is your favorite class that you teach and why?
Oh, that is a hard one. It's kind of a combination. I think I enjoy all of them for different reasons. I enjoy the 100 classes because it's called Foundations of Exercise Science. So students are relatively new to our field, and sometimes I have students that take it as an elective. So I enjoy having, like, right now I have two psychology majors in that class, and they're not considering changing their major. They both know they want to be, I think both of them want to be therapists. But having them just open their minds to what exercise science is, a lot of people just think it's working out or sports, and there's so much more to exercise science, like rehabilitation and preventative medicine and chronic disease management. We talk about things for children, for the elderly. We, of course, talk about things for just the active, fit person as well as athletes, but it's so much broader than people assume, and so being able to impart that to people is exciting to me. I enjoy the 400 level classes because at that point, as a professor, you feel like, wow, now my students have substantial background knowledge and we can go deeper on these topics and we can be a bit more curious and investigate things. And I allow the students to bring in their interests, and that sort of guides some of our classroom content because I can reach the learning outcomes for the class in a myriad of ways. And so I like to take the 400 classes and ask my students, okay, what are you interested in most? Because they're going to graduate in a semester or less. So they have an idea what they want to do as a career. They have an idea of what they're passionate about. They've had that broad introduction of everything. And many of them are narrowing down, okay, this is what I'm most interested in. And then bringing their interests into the classroom is something I really enjoy on the 400 level.
I like that, bringing in their interests so they can, you know, kind of figure out which path they want to go through. So how long have you been teaching?
I've actually been teaching 22 years. I have taught at Mercy 6 years. 6 years.
So why Mercy?
I couldn't have answered that question when 6 years ago when I applied at Mercy, to be honest with you. I was in a position, I was looking for a full-time appointment. I was an adjunct at Queens College at the time, which was an outstanding experience to teach at Queens College. But honestly, they couldn't hire me full-time. And so I was in that position where I was just looking for full-time work. And the one thing I would say at the time, why Mercy? Because Mercy College has an accredited exercise science program. And I came from an accredited exercise science program at my previous full-time institution, which was Grove City College. And I was the program director there for exercise science. And we went through initial accreditation with ACSM and KHEP while I was there. But Grove City, Pennsylvania is far from New York City, which is my home and my love. So I only left my previous institution to return home to my family. And I did that without a full-time job. And I was an adjunct at Queens College for 3 semesters before finding my full-time job at Mercy College. So I wanted to be a part of another accredited program, but I also noticed that Mercy College had the Center for Teaching and Learning. And I really wanted to be at an institution that had support for improving faculty's pedagogy and being supportive of innovative teaching as well as reflective teaching. And I feel like that was an interest of mine where I worked previously, but there wasn't support like instructional designers, for instance, that work for all of our faculty at Mercy College. So I really wanted to be at a school that I could literally become a better professor.
Can you go into more detail about the internship coordination?
Actually, just spoke to some students yesterday about it. So our students have to complete 150-hour internship. They have to do it under a certified professional, as well as it needs to be in their career path. And so we don't want students to just sort of check this box, like they just took this class because it's required. I'm just doing this internship because it's required. It's really intended to be a pre-professional experience. To give you a little bit of background for me, when I was an undergraduate, my first internship let me know what I didn't want to do because I thought I wanted to do this. And I did an internship in it and went, whoa, okay, not for me every day for decades as we could, you know, think forward through a career. So I really want students to learn what they don't want to do as much as learn what they do want to do, but also see it from the inside, not from the outside, because not every job, well, I should say every job has points that are not glamorous. And as much of that that you can absorb before you get there, the better off you'll be. And I think you have more success at being passionate about what you're doing. So the internship is a 3-credit experience. They register for it like they register for another class, but they spend the time, 150 clock hours, off campus working under another professional. Our clinical track, which is geared towards preparing students for health professions in graduate school, our clinical track does 1 internship for 150 hours. Our performance track, geared towards preparing students for careers such as athletic coaching, strength and conditioning, physical education, which still require graduate work, just in different areas, our performance track does 3 internships. And so we ask students to get experience in multiple subspecialties of exercise science, again, to confirm that you know what you want to do when you leave us and you're ready for that challenge.
I like that. It gives you trial runs. So if like the first internship is not something you want to do, you have a second one. And then you have the third one. It helps you build on what you want to do. I like that.
Absolutely. It also is the beginning of their professional network. A lot of our students are hired by their internship site supervisor. So some of them turns into their first job or maybe a full-time job because some of them already have jobs in the field. But they get a job out of their internship.
That's great. So what prompted you to start teaching? Like, what was the moment you were like, yeah, I really want to teach people?
I literally saw my own academic advisor when I was in graduate school, and I was just kind of people watching, if you will. I was just looking like, wow, Dr. Gus goes to class, he goes to the lab. I know he does research. I didn't know the details of his research at the time. And then I saw him taking a jog in the middle of the day. And then he might have another class. And then he went home. And then I saw him at conferences. And I thought, I want his life. I literally got that light bulb in one moment because I thought, I love the flexibility that I see him have. I knew at the time, because I actually come from family, many, many educators, but all the women in my family were like K-12 educators, early education, special education. So I knew their jobs were more, if you will, of the 9-to-5 variety of education, where they're in the school at a certain time. They didn't leave until a certain time. So there was much more structure to their time. And I thought, that's cool. However, I know I don't want to teach children. Nothing against that. Just knew that wasn't for me. And I wanted more flexibility in my day. I enjoyed that flexibility in my week, in my month, in my sort of 12 months. And so that's where I realized that being a college professor would give me that.
Nice. I didn't think about how flexible, more flexible a professional, a college professional.
Yeah. And you, I mean, we still have a mountain of work. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. People think that because they say, oh, you only teach 3 days a week. It's like, but I work 7 days a week. I just am only in class 3 days a week. So flexibility doesn't mean less responsibility.
Yeah. I like that. Are you currently coordinating any extracurricular activities?
Yeah, so I'm actually the faculty advisor for the XI Science Club, and they won the Club of the Year last year because of all the activities they do all year round. So I take no credit. The students are amazing. They are self-motivated. They are organized. They are passionate about bringing XI Science to the campus community, also the greater community. And so, yeah, extracurriculars. We have a 5K, 10K race that we run on campus in Dobbs Ferry every year. It's going to be April 24th. It's called Conquer the Trail. And it's really special to us because we use a race management company, which is owned and operated by two of our alumni.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so Steve Estramera and Phil Barone graduated in XI Science many years ago, and they have day jobs, but this is one of their passions to do race management. And so if you've ever seen a road race, even if you didn't participate in it, race management are the folks behind the scenes that handle your online registration and creating the course map and making sure if there's EMS needed that they're on site, coordinating things like awards. They do the actual timing of the race. They advertise the race. So they are the team that puts on the race that we all just see people show up and run. So our race management team is alums. Our students on race day actually run the course as far as directing people where to go. So that's one of our biggest activities that we do, but we've had all kinds of fundraisers on campus. We've done food drives, clothing drives. We did a cell phone drive last year, which was the first time we did that. We asked students to bring to campus their used cell phones. And we just collected them and gave them to an organization that refurbished them and gave them to active military overseas.
Oh, that's great.
So we do a lot of interesting things. I wish I could remember them all, but there's so many. Breast Cancer Walk in the fall. We've done the Old Croton Aqueduct Trail cleanup. The Aqueduct Trail runs through our Dobbs Ferry campus, so our students are very familiar with it. However, in Upper Westchester, the entire trail is pristine, which, by the way, the trail ends only a few blocks from here, this Manhattan campus. The trail ends in Bryant Park. Ooh. Tad bit of history. The old aqueduct trail was not old. It was built in the 1800s to bring fresh water from Croton, New York, fresh water into Manhattan. New York City had a crisis in the late 1800s. There wasn't clean water in this city, and they brought it from Westchester. So they built what is essentially an underground tunnel to bring that water into New York City. When that aqueduct was no longer needed, because we eventually developed the sewer system and the water treatment systems we have now, then they filled it in, covered it up, and it's been a walking trail, biking trail ever since. It is pristine. It is beautiful, and it is 42 miles from Croton to Bryant Park. 24 of those miles are in Westchester, and 23 of those miles are beautiful and relaxing. There's 1 mile of that trail that is unsafe and filthy. And so the XI Science Club goes to Yonkers and cleans that trail. And we're going to begin working with local municipalities to try and keep that trail safe and clean, because people cannot have optimal health if they don't have access to physical activity. And if you have a wonderful trail that's just dirty and dangerous, dangerous to the point that you find needles and hospital waste and construction waste, things that have been dumped there, which is prohibited by law, but the law isn't enforced there. So we're working to get access to physical activity for people that live in areas that have been ignored.
A little bit of New York history for us this morning. But that's great that you're trying to clean up a place that can be beautiful and also help with your mental and emotional and physical health. So what are some of your professional achievements, and which one are you most proud of?
Well, I think I do have a great place in my heart for Grove City college exercise science because I was the first program director there and helped them get their initial accreditation for exercise science. And that program is still being carried on by some colleagues that are still there and new colleagues that I don't know. But that was a program that was the vision of Dr. Don Lyle, who's a good friend of mine and my former boss. And we worked together for many years, along with the other administrators that were there at the time, to build a new major, which is a long process. Most students don't know. You think, oh, this college just has this major. It took many, many, many years before you were able to actually have a major to create that major. And so I'm just grateful for his vision to have a academic program at a school that did not have it, and his vision to choose exercise science because there were many options that he could have chosen to create a new major. He hired me specifically to do that well before that it was actually a reality. So I'm grateful for that and most proud of being a part of that. I am a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine, and a fellow is, at least for what we call ACSM, the American College of Sports Medicine, fellow status allows you to be part of the leadership and make decisions about the organization. So I am proud of being a fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine. It is an earned accolade. You do have to apply, and it is rigorous to be awarded fellow status. But there aren't many women of color, and there aren't many women at all with fellow status of the American College of Sports Medicine compared to men and compared to men of the majority. So I am proud to be a fellow and be an active member of the American College of Sports Medicine. I was also the faculty member of the year for Mercy College pre-COVID, maybe 2018 or 19. I got a MAV award, which was really fun because it's student driven and I was really appreciative as well. I was a finalist for faculty of the year when I was at Grove City College. So you know, I guess those aren't big things because being a finalist, you didn't win the award. Someone else did. But it was just nice to feel appreciated that my passion means something to the students that I was able to touch. And lastly, I'll say that in 2019, I was awarded the Alumni of Distinction Award by the University of Pittsburgh. And so that was an amazing event to go to and see some old teammates of mine. I ran track at the University of Pittsburgh. And to also see some of the older coaches, and by old, I mean they were coaching when I was an athlete. So I'm old too, but that's all right. And so it was an amazing place to be. It helped me get into my best shape physically, emotionally, and just to develop as a person where I, at the University of Pittsburgh, was also able to compete in the 1996 Olympic trials for the 100-meter hurdles. And so I missed making the Olympic team by a fraction of a second, literally. But in my event, the 100-meter hurdles, a fraction of a second is the difference between first place and 32nd, which is where I finished, but proudly 32nd, because I couldn't have done it without all the folks that nurtured and encouraged me at the University of Pittsburgh, as well as Brentwood High School.
Well, very big congratulations on all of those. So you were talking about the American College of Sports Medicine. Can you tell us a little bit of the purpose of that organization?
Yeah, the American College of Sports Medicine is actually an international organization, although, of course, it was started here, which is why it has its name. And the mission is to disseminate research. So it's very much research-driven, but then also translational research, taking the research essentially out of the lab and translating it into what is applicable to best practices for everyone from physicians to athletic trainers to clinical exercise physiologists, of course, as well as students, driving research so that we have the most cutting-edge information available for healthy lifestyles, preventing and reversing chronic disease, as well as promoting physical activity. One of the initiatives of the American College of Sports Medicine is called Exercise is Medicine. And so trying to help the public appreciate exercise as an integral part of a healthy lifestyle as much as we see things like nutrition, avoiding substances like alcohol or cigarettes or any other substances that would diminish our health. Having a sedentary lifestyle is also something that diminishes our health. And Exercise is Medicine is also working to have compensation for clinical exercise physiologists as well as physiologists, such that insurance will pay for the services of these professionals so that more people can take advantage of healthy lifestyles and prescribed exercise. And the difference is prescribed exercise comes from an exercise professional. Prescribed exercise is going to avoid or limit risk factors for diseases, chronic diseases. And unfortunately, heart disease being the number one reason that Americans die prematurely, heart disease is preventable. And exercise science is the key to the prevention of heart disease. But most people don't have access to professionals like myself because we're not yet reimbursed by insurance. That's what exercise is medicine and the American College of Sports Medicine is working towards.
I love that. It's letting people know that exercise is more than what everyone, the mainstream, think it is. How did you get to know all the people that you know now? Like, what is your networking strategy?
Wow, I would say networking strategy. I don't have one. Networking strategy, I would say really it kind of happens organically. You connect with people with whom you have common passion. And then when you make that connection, find ways to add value. Find ways to add value to that passion, to that shared passion. Find ways to create something that is novel. Find ways to create something that's needed. For instance, working with the Exercise Science Club to not only clean the trail, but improve the trail, the Old Croton Aqueduct Trail in Yonkers. You know, we're creating something that's needed, which is access to physical activity. We have a passion for being outside. We have a passion for physical activity. But finding the plant that needs water and, in fact, caring for it. Because sometimes our natural inclination is to water the plant that's already blooming. Because that's easier. I think networking is connecting with the people that are committed to helping you find what needs nurture and then sticking with it until your nurturing blooms.
Basically helping the people that are looked over in a way.
Yeah, and sometimes that can happen, you know, face-to-face, but sometimes that also happens working with public policy, working with local municipalities. Sometimes that is just literally pounding the pavement, signing petitions. Sometimes that can be work done away from the actual community on behalf of the community. So whatever your skill set is and your passion is, like, you may work on social media platforms. You may work in fundraising. You may work in ways that are what we consider behind the scenes, but your vision and your passion is the same as the person that literally goes out and picks up the trash.
It's the small things, everyone, the small things. So how would you recommend current undergrad students to expand their networking?
I would say let go of the fear. Don't be afraid to talk to anyone. I find that most students don't network because they're just uncomfortable. They're afraid. They don't want to say the wrong thing. And I get that. That's kind of real. I don't want to say you shouldn't be afraid. All I'm saying is when you feel that fear, let it go. Let it come in you and let it wash over you and leave you and then open your mouth. Because when you talk to a professional, if you're interested in what they're passionate about, the conversation will be easier. But you have to be willing to start the conversation. And you don't have to say the right thing. You just have to speak, period. And know what you're passionate about. And just be able to communicate that. And try to be as specific as you can. Because when you start a conversation and you ask a professional a question, they're going to ask you one back. And their question is going to be a bit more specific than your question. So just know what you're passionate about. And whatever it is, there's people that are already doing that. So if you say, hey, I'm just super interested in designing better socks for peewee football, say that to everyone that will listen. There's no dumb idea. And there's no bad way to say it. Just don't keep your mouth shut. That's what I would say. Networking is just all about connecting with people. And I would say when you are working on your network, try to do it in the most human ways possible. And what I mean by that is Do as much as you can in person. Yes, eye contact, handshake, conversation. If it's not in person, doing the little things like sending an actual thank you card. Yeah, use the postal service. Actually send an actual thank you card instead of emailing or texting thanks. If that's all you can do as far as like using technology, then fine. But if you can take the extra step to make anything a bit more personal than simply email and text, do that. That matters. It touches everyone. And it doesn't touch the older generation like myself, where that used to be the only way we communicated. But that touches every human because it shows that you took the extra time, you made it personal, and you reached out from your heart, not just because it's the right thing to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. My mom, she loves thank you cards. I'm the type, we have boxes of just Christmas cards, thank you cards, because it leaves a little imprint of you. They might even put it on their desk. You never know who you're talking to.
Exactly.
Any other tips or recommendations that you have for our current undergrad students here at Mercy?
I would say take a little time for yourself. I find that my students are super busy, overcommitted. I would say try to find balance in your life, whatever that looks like for you. But also get curious at the same time. Get curious and sort of become investigative. Dig deeper, whatever you think you want to know, and just absorb it. Absorb it as much as you can. I find that students can sometimes get tunnel vision to, what do I need to know for this quiz, this test, this class, this professor? Okay, rinse, repeat next semester. And narrowing your education to just what seems to matter for the grade is not education at all. And so what I would suggest is soak it all up, because high school is required. College is not. If you chose college, there's a reason why. Get passionate about your reason why. And sort of get in the driver's seat of your education. I find that students are more passive. They just want to do what they're told, required, expected. Here's the assignment. Here's the deadline. And that's not fun. So do your part to put the fun back in the education, which is your own curiosity. Because when my students are curious, they come to class and they're like, hey, I read this, or I saw this, or what about this? And that makes it fun for everybody. And you learn more. You learn more. No one wants to just sort of only learn the requirements, because that's not going to make you an optimal professional. I don't want my students to just get a job. I want my students to be excellent at their job.
Enjoy what you're doing, everyone. Well, thank you so much for being our honored guest today. Thank you, Mavs, for listening and tuning in. Once again, this is Jasmine C. Gordon, and this is Math Faculty.